want to be talking about. Everybody say it. Put God first. Put God first. Put God first. Put God first. Everybody say, put God first. Put God first. I want this to be on our hearts. I want this to penetrate our hearts. If you're failing in an area, if there's something broken in your life, this, guess what? He's not first. But when He's made first, there's some solutions that will come quick, and there's other ones that will be a process. But when you put God's Word first, when you put God first, things will begin to happen for you. Here's kind of where we're the state that we end up in first. Me. There you go. That's you. That little you there. And you got, maybe there's bitterness. And there's just, there's all kinds of anger. Come on, what is it? Oh, yeah, that's under there. Lonely, ooh, loneliness. When I'm first, life can be lonely, right? Me, 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 me. I remember seeing Finding Nemo. And all those pelicans. Mine, 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 mine. And the me first is a mine, 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 mine. And don't you say that's a child, isn't it? It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's me. It's me. Don't forget me. Me. There's not enough money. What am I going to do? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? The friends got in the other car. But what about me? Me, me, me. And there's even an opera. Me, me, me. Self-centered, right? Childish. I want us to flip over. Actually, before, let me see. I'll go ahead and do this verse up here first. All have been there a million times. Hey, listen. Putting God first is all about lifelong, comprehensive transformation. Lifelong comprehensive transformation. Putting God first in every area of your life is what maturity looks like. It's what it is. Now, there's a verse right on the front there. By the way, I'll get to that in a minute. Have you ever seen the word ego? Edging God out. Ego, edging God out. Ego is all about, it's about me. It's not about anybody else but me. You're secondary, or third dairy, or fourth dairy, or not even dairy. So let's go ahead and look at the right on the front of your page here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Read it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How many of you, we ain't done with that one yet. How many of you have difficulty with trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, over all of it? Ready for the next one? Because look, we're looking and putting God first. There's a way to go about it, see? Everybody say the second part. And lean not to your own understanding. In other words, there's somebody that knows something more about what you're doing than you do. Is that right? God says, your understanding is only seen by the things that you can see. It says, but my reality is about the things you can't see. I feel like an atheist is a person with no invisible means of support. And so many act like it. Isn't that the truth? Edging God out, and you got no invisible means of support. And you got to have invisible means of support. Because the things that you see are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And the realm of the Spirit is all about the eternal things that weigh in on our life. And God spoke His Word, and the things that are unseen and things that are seen are all created by Him. And He says, learn to put me first and learn what I say. Well, look at this next part. Look, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Look at the next verse. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. See, now here's the deal. You're going to be certain ways that you just haven't even considered. You might be struggling financially. And not really considered the ways of the Lord. You might be struggling relationally and not considered the ways of the Lord. Because you're leaning on your own understanding and what you can see. And you can't figure it out. But this is the beauty of putting Him, acknowledging Him in all your ways. What is it the next part say? He will make straight Everything that's bent and crooked and out of shape and gone wrong, He will straighten it all out if you'll do it His way. If you put God first, He'll fix it all. Sometimes it's in a hurry. Sometimes it's a process. But He's going to fix it all because you put all your heart into it. Catch me, Daddy. I'm going to trust in You, and I'm not leaning on what I see. I'm going to lean on You. What does Your Word say? What is Your way in this? Give me Your way. And then He straightens it out. And you stand in that. And you walk in that. And you develop in that. And you grow in that. And that is the way of putting God first. Now there's a verse on the other side. 1 John 2, 12 through 14. I'm pulling this out of an incredible passage. It would be good just to preach on that whole passage. It's just so packed. But I'm just going to kind of cherry pick this out. It says, I'm writing to you little children. Now here we are again. Little children. I'm writing to you little children because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. John the Beloved. He's the only disciple alive at this point. Everybody else is gone. He's it. I'm writing to you fathers. Because you know Him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I'm writing to you children, because you know the Father. I'm writing to you fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now here's what it's like to be a baby in Christ. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I know He loves me. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. It's still all about me. I'm forgiven. And it's still all about me because I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Right? And to get to that new place, to get to the place of childishness, to becoming a mature father or young man who overcomes. This is the process. Number one, abide in the Word of God. So you're going to have to go find out what the Word of God says. Abide in the Word. Two, overcome the evil one. Three, be strong. Walk it out. Walk it out. Be strong. Abide in the Word. Abide in the Word. If you're failing in an area, you're broken in an area, and it's not working, and you're still childish in an area, go find out what the Word of God says about it, right? Right? Hello, hello, hello. What's the Word of God say about your thought life? What does the Word of God say about purity? What does the Word of God say about marriage? What does the Word of God say about money? What does the Word of God say about friendships? What does it say about your tongue? Anybody feel the Holy Spirit in the room yet? Highlighting things. What does the Word of God say about it? There's an overcomer. There's an overcomer in you, overcoming the evil one that has lied to you, and you've been weak in areas and not. Well, there's certain people I just wish were here today because I've been praying for them. And there's certain holes in their life. Aren't you glad I said those other people are not here? Aren't you? Let me say this. I'm so glad you're here today. Because I have been praying for you and the holes in our lives. Because there's childishness and selfishness resident within us. And the pathway to maturity has to do with uncovering what the Word of God says in an area. And then there's an overcoming ability that Word gives us. And there's a strength. And you become mature through this process. Are you there? So we want to identify where me has been. And what areas are weak. And look at just a few. Have you ever seen those? It's kind of like a shotgun, but it's the old one. The barrel fans out. And you. It's called, the name of the gun is a blunderbuss. And you shoot it and it spreads. Let's just load it up with gospel seeds today. And just go boof, and shoot and see what hits where. Okay, so we're going to just let go on a few of these and see if this is your area. Does that work for you? Okay. So to put God first, I want to look at one other passage before we take off here. And that's the next one down on the back side there. And it says, it's in Colossians 1, 17, 23. It says, "And He is before all things, and to Him, in Him, all things hold together." And I made this point a while back, and it seemed to really hit a lot of folks. The reality is, if He can hold the universe together, your life is a piece of cake. Because by Him, all things are held together. Right? So, if you're laying on your bed at night, and you're concerned and worried about things, and you're grinding your teeth to powder, guess what? That's kind of unnecessary. What we need to do is put the Word of God there and put God first, because grinding your teeth will not hold the universe together. And the worry that might come upon your soul is not based on, there's something lacking. Are you there? It's like a minute ago, it's yes, and now it's like, well, okay. Now, in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. In other words, that God might be first in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you, go ahead and elbow the person next to you. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind. And by the way, little babies are alienated and hostile in mind. There's still something about that, that the big, when you're so focused on you, even though He's died for your sins and, you know, washed away the sin and all this stuff, there's something about that preoccupation with self that we need to mature out of. Are you there? How many of you would leave the baby in charge of the home? No, it's not responsible enough. The Lord God would say, "I want to go and rescue a city." Who goes? The baby, or young men that overcome, or fathers that can take care of babies. Are you there? How are we going to do this? Are you there? Does this seem to be appropriate for us right now? So He says, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in the body of His flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in Him." So we have now, instead of it being me in the center, you know, how many of you know Colossians 1:27? Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, hope, what do I say it? Hope of glory. In other words, God wants to manifest through your life to these areas, to say your financial situation, in your marriage. The Word of God speaks to all these things. Aren't you glad that some people stop before they talk and think about it and say, "No, we're not going to say that"? That's called maturity. Isn't that something? Here's one, purity. I've got more on there. I don't know. I can't cover the whole Bible, but we wouldn't get out and, oh yeah, friendships. I want to talk about that. This is just a few areas that I believe. Yeah, I put marriage and family, marriage. And we'll get to that one probably last. I'll deal with that one. But friends. Now, in each of these, I want to just say, how is Christ the fullness of all in all, just in this right now? Well, I want to say, thought life, He's a Logos. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He says, "My words I've given to you. I want you to abide in my words," right? For the tongue, I want to say the best thing we can be doing is speaking rhema, which is the spoken word, to speak God's word. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is the use of edifying, so that it may minister grace to the hearers. There's a maturity that comes this way. Purity. This message is going to be over really fast, I think. We'll see. How can he? I got a beautiful verse for this. I have the old way out of King James. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, or guarding his life according to your word. Purity. How can you, any way you see that some of these are like going to take longer to develop in others? How many of you put the Word of God in an area and you start to think on the Word of God in an area and you start to change, but you realize you need more change? There's something powerful about keeping the Word of God as a seed inside of you, and it actually does the work. It does the work. You can strengthen your will and you can try and try and try. Then you memorize the Scripture, meditate on it, and it starts to change you by itself. That's an incredible reality. It says you sower sows the word, and he goes to sleep, wakes up, goes to sleep, wakes up, and it starts to produce first the, you know, the blade, then the ear, then the whole stalk of corn that the word of God will produce if you will keep it. So the, your job in keeping God's, putting God first, is to say, what area did I need help in, and go get that word and put it in you. That's how this works. And you begin to progress out of being one who's just forgiven to the one who overcomes the evil one, because of the abiding of the Word of God inside of you. The Lord is just right here in the room right now. It's such a sweet spirit, because we need to be a people in today's culture who put God first. Are you there? It's funny how when we put ourselves first, how everything falls apart rather quickly. Is that the case? Have you discovered that in your own case? Can we have a line of testimonies? Go ahead and get up here and say, how did you put your all your faith in your own ability and your own understanding, and everything fell apart? Okay, I have a 5-year detour I went on there. And now this other one about, oh, for trying to figure that marriage out, that was a 10-year detour. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you hearing me? There's all kinds of fruitfulness if you put the word in you. My desire is to light a fire in your heart, a passionate fire in your heart to put God first and to seek out his word and do it. Seek out his word and do it. Seek out his word and do it. Because he says, listen, my ways are not your ways. Have you figured that out? Hey, listen, I've had the Lord ask me to give a certain amount of money, and I don't feel very comfortable for a while because it does a whammy on my flesh. How many of you have given some money and then get sick? Was I supposed to do that? The devil comes back. Is that right? He just comes trying to steal all that from you. How many of you have had some friendships, and the Lord says, and you go, oh, I get these, but, and then you go off some path, and where did you go? Are you there? Where did you end up? Walk with the wise, and become wise. The companion of fools will come to harm. If you want to write this one down, this is a good one. Ready? Your friends determine your direction and your quality of life. Your friends determine your direction and the quality of your life. That's how powerful friendships are. So there may be people in your life that the Lord might be saying, listen, there's an interesting dynamic here. If you're over here and you're coming out of the world, and the Lord is saying, this relationship has a toxicity to you to tap into something in your life and pull you back, you need to let go of this one. And then you walk and you become a young man who's overcoming the evil one. And you're settled in who you are in Christ. And now it's a different day. And the Lord says, go and befriend this person. And they have the same problems you used to, because now the redemptive power of Jesus is in you to work the change, that you're not going back to that. You see the wisdom in that? But it might be that a team of you, let's say two or three people that love the Lord, and they invite a person into this relationship, go do things together, and now they are being influenced. Are you there? That's what it's about. That's the power of a friendship today with someone who isn't walking with the Lord as of yet. And everybody knows, we know this, we've said this here, if you have made it your agenda for them to come to Christ, then they feel like a target. If you make it your agenda to be a friend, they don't feel like a target. And because who's in you is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that eventually the conversations will come around to, you know, what's going on? How you got this going on in your life? All this kind of stuff. And they will tap into that. But right now you're not looking for them to meet needs in your life. The Lord Jesus and your walk with the wise friends are those people in your life. Are you there? Yeah, you got to become one who overcomes the evil one. How many of you had certain areas of your life you go, I'm back, Lord. I'm here repenting again. I love you, son. This is a wreck. I feel like a wreck. Well, listen, we're all sons and daughters of the ones that failed, but Jesus has decreed that we would be the ones that reign in life. I figured it out, by the way. You should learn something if you've been walking with the Lord for 43 years and ministering for 22. You should learn something. And I've learned one or two things. I've learned that I can't do it, that he must do it in me. And I've learned that if I pursue him, he'll do that. and that everything that's really good and beneficial that benefits others is going to come out of what he's done in me. Not my opinions, but his redeemed work in me. And I've learned this other thing too. Forgiveness goes a long way. And when the Lord says, I don't find any fault in you, then what are you doing picking out somebody else's? Because the tongue can wreck people. The tongue can be the most worst part of us. Is that right? I want to say something about the power of the tongue here. This is real simple to hear from the Lord. This might be a little thing to jot down. Ready? Quiet your heart. Quiet your heart. In other words, turn inward with your ears. Put your ears on the inside in a spirit of expectancy. Quiet is really important when you're coming to listen to the Lord. Quiet your heart. Sometimes it may be need to be taking some time to worship to do that. Might take some time to meditate on the Word to do that. But to quiet your heart is really important when you want to hear. Then the Lord, listen, the way the Bible teaches it, your thoughts are more analytical. His thoughts are spontaneous. That's a unique thing. A thought from the Lord will light upon you. It'll just light upon you, and you'll go, and it'll have that thing about it where it's like, first of all, you know you didn't think it up. It might require faith of you. All right, right? You know that special combination of things? So then you need to think of it. Think on it. How many of you have had the Lord say something and you go, this is the fun thing. When the Lord says, give this amount, you go, couldn't be God. Couldn't be God. or points out something and you go, I can't do that. And the Lord goes, if you do it by faith, whatever it is that he says, like some encouraging word to somebody that you don't even know. Some of these things like that. Are you there? Anybody need help? Or finding the what's the root problem in a situation, just quieting your heart and asking God, what is going on here? And the Lord will say it. By the way, he wants to say more than to you. Oh, wow. Okay, guys. Everybody, let's lean in. Ready? The Lord wants to talk to you a whole lot more than you've been listening. The Lord craves your ear. He desires you to listen to him. Are you ready to listen and respond? One other thing here, and then go to and draw another diagram, and we'll be out of here, okay? Oh, I forgot to put one here. Workplace. Whoops. God wants to speak to you in your workplace. He has the key here is this. This is a key. That when you work, you don't work. You work for the people, but you're working as unto Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Render your service as unto the Lord, not as unto men. That's a key. And guess what? The Lord will pay you back. And what that means is, when you do things as unto the Lord, because this is that pathway of maturity, then he promotes you. The promotion doesn't actually come from the company, even though it can come from the company. It actually comes from the Lord telling the people what to do. He just makes a way for you because you're working as unto the Lord. And you're bringing the quality of what you do and doing it thoroughly and to his glory. And there's a quality about what you bring because you're doing it unto him. Are you there? That's a key thing. Looking up those scriptures about that in the workplace and doing those things as unto the Lord, and promotion comes from him. Money? Jesus spoke right to that. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. Money tells you that it will actually take care of you. It lies. Money won't take care of you. So if you want to come out of the childish emotion that if I have enough money, I'll be okay, then you go ahead and look at what the scriptures say. You put the word of God in you. Yes, there are other scriptures that do talk about money having ability to solve things. Isn't that right? When you don't have enough money, it can be a rub. But the point is, if it's all based on pursuing the dollar and not the Lord, it's always going to be lying to you, and hell will. And then if you don't honor the Lord, here's another thing about this. The first fruits, Jesus is the first fruits of our finances. He's our bridegroom. He's our logos. He's the rhema. He's the holiness. You know what holiness is? I found out this yesterday. Holiness is not being alienated or isolated from the world. It's being actually different in the midst of. Consistently different in the midst of. Friendships. The Lord says, I'm your friend. Workplace. I want to be with you wherever you go. Okay? Let's go to one other thing and then drop this last thing here. All right, anybody benefiting so far? I'm going to deal with this picture. Putting God first in all these areas means finding out what the Word of God says in this area. If you want to learn how to grow in Christ, you need the Word of God. You need to be feeding off the Word of God. Are you there? Okay. Some of you have been stuck in certain places. Yes. Yes. Okay. The Lord's saying to you today, you're going to get unstuck by looking up what my Word says about that area, putting it in your heart, and the momentum is going to come from the Holy Spirit to break you through. You're going to be unstuck. There are certain areas, he says, listen to what I say in this area and not what you say. Don't lean on your own understanding anymore. Put my word in you. Trust in me with all of your heart and consider my way in the situation here. Put that word in there and I'll straighten it all out for you. I'll make it straight for you. Are you there? This last one, this is a big cultural thing and there's a lot of brokenness relating to it because it deals with family. And the Lord has a way of remedying all of this, but something I discovered, and I want to point it out to you so everybody can see this. I have to stand in front of it for a minute. But we have, in the English language, we have one word for love. Is that right? But in the Greek language, we have four. Okay? We have agape. Agape is the word for God's love. All right? And the essence of this word means God is going to give you what you need more than what you want. An addict might say, but I want drugs, or I want alcohol, or I want sex, or I want food, or I want what I want, I want, I want. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you me, unconditional love, to penetrate the depths of your heart. I'm going to give you me. And there's going to come a satisfaction to your heart. Agape love is deeper. It speaks to the real need. So this is what God does. This is the first love. Secondly, there's one called storge. Storge. And this is parental love. Parental love is the love with a child. It's a mommy and a daddy and a child. Everybody say a mommy and a daddy and a child. Storge is parental love where the mommy nurtures little baby and the daddy begins to speak destiny into this child, right? The storge, that's one love. There's this eros love. You know where the different words that come, but this is basically romantic love in the Greek language. Romantic, eros. And then there's phileo. Phileo love is more friendship. Okay? Are you there? Guess what? In biblical marriage, all four of these are expressed. There's romance, there's parental love, there's, now for the biblical marriage, there's God's love, there's phileo, there's friendship. These things all come in the realm of biblical love. The culture's gone another direction. Let's draw a table. Let's see. And with four legs. So let's say to build the table of God's, a biblical marriage, you have agape love, storge, parental love, romantic love, and friendship, right? And the world says, we don't need God. And one leg of the table is gone. And we're going to experiment and do it a different way. Now listen, the ideal here, I want to go ahead and say, broken families, single mommies, single dads, all those kind of things. The Lord says, I will pour out in the last day the spirit of Elijah, and I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and I will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. And the curse is a perpetual state of childishness, of immaturity. It says, but I will make up for this, what you didn't get in your family, and I will put the solitary in families, and I will provide fathers in the faith and young men to partner with, and you can grow in up out of all these things. Hallelujah. But the social experimentation today is like taking away storge. Now we've got no mommy and daddy. You guys know what I'm talking about. How can you build a culture on two legs? And that's what's going on. And it crumbles. The culture crumbles. Because the full benefit of the love of God And the reason I end up with this last is because it's so foundational to the thought life. The shaping influence of the Holy Spirit through godly parents who walk with the Lord and bring the... We don't say that in our family and get the tongue right. Don't touch that honey, a little bathtub. That'll hurt you down the road. We're not going to play with our genitalia here. And there's these shaping influences that begin to happen. Well, do the job better. Let's do it thoroughly, honey. And your person learns a work ethic in the house, right? And you learn things. And you grow up and you mature and you mature and you mature and you become as a responsible person in the culture. Someone who can actually have an impact. Are you there? And this is where we're being wounded and hurt and brought down, is because this is broken all to pieces. And this, but is it redeemable? Yes. Yes. Especially when you open up to the fullness of God's love. And God begins, you can go ahead to the keyboard. And God begins to restore. Is this helpful today? Hallelujah. And here's the big deal. We're all given this gift. It's the wonderful gift. It's the gift of Jesus. I want you to imagine with me if God was first in every area of all of our lives. What would that be like? God is first in your life in every area. That you know what His Word says in every squeak point, in every weak area, and you become strong, and you become one who abides in His Word, and you overcome the adversary. You overcome the wicked one, right? Because what? You learn how to forgive. You've learned how to manage. You've learned how to honor Him with your income. You learn how to walk in His ways. You've learned how to walk with people who are walking with Him. You've learned... Are you there? And this is the key. He gives us this capacity to change. True transformation comes on. I see what the Word says, and I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways I acknowledge Him. And this is called repentance. This is where I see what the truth says, and I'm going to make a change on the basis of what the truth says and quit thinking. I'm going to give you a $20 theological ready. Ready? $20 theological word. Ready? Are you ready? Stinking thinking. That's bad. And everything that's in your own understanding, most of it, can be under that category, because it's all rationalizing on the basis of your fretting and your turmoil and your trouble and all you trying to figure out your thing. And the struggle here is we need to learn to put God first in every area of our life. Amen. Let's go ahead and set everything aside for a moment. Praise you, Lord. Just quiet your heart before the Lord. I believe the Lord's going to just speak to you and say, this is the area I want you to work on. He's just going to give you something to work on, to bring to Him. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit. There is now no condemnation. Period. Period. You might be a person that when you sit down to talk to the Lord, the first thing He says is, I love you, my child, and you push that aside because you're still stuck in having to work harder. And the Lord wants you to know that you're completely accepted. Lord Jesus, we just give You praise right now. Thank You for those that are choosing to grow past being childish in certain areas and putting You first. We thank You for this. It is our will and our desire to put You first. Our desire to grow up in areas of our life and to benefit You and others because we're maturing. Let's praise Him now, guys. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Let's praise Him some more. There's the Bible says where the presence of the Lord is, there's a spirit of liberty. and there's a liberty coming in the room. A work of the Holy Spirit just to lift weighty things off of you that you felt a failure in. Lord says, no, you're not a failure. You just haven't put me first here yet. Let's go ahead and do it. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, man.
A turning point. Make a decision today. There's the world view, and then there's the biblical worldview. Make a decision. I'm going to live the way the world views life, or I'm going to live my life the way the Bible and the Word of God instructs me. It's our manual for life. I flew for American Airlines for 25 years. My captain and my co-pilot would never get in a 747 or a DC-10 without using their manual. If you don't have a manual for life, loved one, you're going to crash. It's just as simple as that. It's really that simple. And you can use any other kind of thing, Buddhist, whatever kind of manuals that are around. But, you know, there's nobody who came and died for you in those manuals. There's only one. He is true. He's truth. He's life. He's the way. And nobody else is coming for you. So, worldview, magazines, television, news, or the Word of God. Which manual will you live your life by so that you won't burn and crash? I don't know about you, but today I reaffirm that this right here is my manual for life. Everything you have need of, loved one, is right in here. And you'll say, but I don't know it. Well, I don't know it either, and I've been walking with him not quite as long as this old guy here, but I can find it. Go to the concordance in the back. Pick a word, and God will show you. Ask someone. Ask one of the pastors. How can I find that? And if we can't find it for you today, then we'll do it. Go on Google, research, and stick a word in there, and it'll pop up and give you some scriptures about it. Okay? And it will change your life, but you have to be in it. And then you have to obey it. And that, you know, we're going to have to find another word for obey. Because our culture does not like that word. Okay, what's another word that we can do?
Do
follow.
It. Follow.
Let's follow this. Because that's really what it is. If you follow it, it'll change your life. Amen? Let's pray.
Hallelujah. Guys, let's stand together. If you would.
I choose today, Lord, to get in my manual so I can fly right, stay straight.
How many of you appreciate the word today that says, get back in the word? Are you there?
Amen.
Get back in the word. Get back Amen. In the word. Abide in it. Let the Lord empower you to overcome the evil one, to grow, to grow, to grow, to grow, to grow, to grow. Grow and mature.
Amen.
In the love of God and in the promises of God. Let's just lift
Thank
our heads
you,
again.
Jesus.
Father, I pray for fresh revelation upon the body. I pray, Father, for the igniting of the Word of God. And Lord, your Word sets free. This truth sets free. So I praise you, Lord, for the hungry hearts in this room that are turning to you to explore what you have to say and to grow through it. We praise you for this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love that draws us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.